You're listening to
Hello and welcome tonight to this episode of Your Ultimate Life. This show is dedicated to one thing only, and that's helping you create the life of your dreams, a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy that you create by serving with your gifts. Tonight, I got a great guest, Christine Rappin. Christine, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Delightful to have you. It's been a while since we chatted, and when I reached out, I thought I know somebody that would just be really good for our listeners here, talking about creating the kind of life they want to live.
Thank you.
So I have first question, and that is, tell us what you're doing.
Yeah, I am having so much fun. I got to say, this has been one of my key goals of this year is to play more. And I play in the world of business. I help business owners actually create impact. And what had really been resonating last time you and I chatted was how many people are giving up on their dreams and said, I have to show up to help stop that trend. And I work with service-based entrepreneurs to create impact. I absolutely love it. I've got clients all over the world. And the key thing is it isn't just about the business. It's about the life you want. And you can have it, but you have to work for it. And it is not effortless, but gosh almighty, it is not as complicated as we're making it either.
So let's dig into some of those pieces. When you say what service-based businesses, give me an idea who, first one or two that come to mind, what are they doing and why do they come to talk to you to create that life they want to live?
Yeah, I work with a lot of creatives. So digital marketing agencies, people who are creating communities, and people who are selling an intangible service, helping somebody move from point A to point B. And often they come to me because they have one of two problems. Number one, they're not creating as much impact as they would like. Or two, they're so busy, they don't know how to extract themselves because they've tipped over into so much work that it stopped being joyful and it stopped being maybe the life they want. And said, we need to figure out how to be the business owner, not just the doer in the business. Something very different.
It is. So how do you help people measure impact? Because one of the things that I'm doing and the reason I did an LA Talk radio show for a couple of years, several years ago, and I came back because they had video, which I love Sam for having, and also because my goal this year is to help 50 million people, and that's a number, that's impact, discover and serve with their gifts. So how do you help your clients measure impact?
Well, one of my key clients that I'm working with now who's having a lot of fun, she works in the not-for-profit sector. And in that industry, they have impact statements. And they talk about what was the measure of the effort that we put forward? How many people did we serve? How many clients did we engage with? What were some of our big goals? And we've taken some of that framework into her business. And I said, what would you do if you had more influence? And it isn't a money goal that we have, it's influence. And she's like, I'd love to be able to support more people. Her first goal was to hire people, people that would love their jobs, because many people in the world of corporate, and I mean traditional big corporate, don't have that experience. And she said, I really want to take great people who do great things and hire them working for a company they feel passionate about, that we are creating difference makers with the not-for-profit sector. And so when you ask the question, how do we make impact? It's using influence for the greater good and being a positive catalyst for change.
I love that. And that's maybe a more elegant way. I always say just add good to the world is the way I say that. So you didn't start here. You talked about corporate stuff and, you know, I've had to run there and you have too. And lots of people do. And I had a conversation with somebody the other day who was in a very successful position, but he just said, you know, I just feel like a cog in the wheel and I'm not doing anything that matters. Like you have probably heard that 8 million times. Tell me a little bit about how you got to this place where your passion is to help people create impact.
You know, certainly it was a plot twist. We've talked this before that really set me on the path to the time is now. I did know that I wanted to create something even from a really young age. I did believe I would play a role in independent business somewhere, but it was a plot twist in my corporate career many moons ago, almost 7 years now, where I started to think the time is now. because there is no such thing as job security. You need to create it for yourself. And it planted the seed. But where this journey then took me to was I didn't set out to mentor or to be a consultant. I set out to be a great business owner. And I was doing my own thing. And people kept saying, what are you doing that's creating success? Because I feel like I'm working 10 times harder. And you seem to have a life. Like, I still had a big corporate job. I was building my business as a side hustle, my first one, 1 hour a day, and it was doubling. And people kept saying, well, what's the magic? I'm like, it's not magic. It's knowing what to focus on and understanding what creates movement. And I started to be asked, would you help? Because it can't be that simple. And I'm like, sure. I mean, that's just a beautiful offer, an invitation. And that led to the consulting that we've done and the growth of the business that I have with Clear Acceleration. It really came down through people. I realized most people who go into business ownership don't come with the skill set of a business owner. They come from something else. And they go, oh, I don't know how to wear all the hats now. And I said, well, I grew up in the world of business. This was my language. This was my structure. I know the language. I can help teach it to you.
So I'm going to ask you, this makes me want to do two things. So I'll try to remember both of them. The first one is you talked about plot twist. And I know when we met a year or more ago, I don't know, a while ago, you talked about plot twists and you were creating some material around plot twists. So talk about the plot twist, and I love that phrase, by the way. It's like you're reading a book and something unexpected happens in the movie or the book, and I know that's what you mean. So talk about what those were for you and what you see happen. And then the third question I'll save, but go ahead and tell us what a plot twist is.
So plot twists are exactly that. Many, many moons ago, I had saw this great quote, and I kept it in my office desk when it said, when you encounter a plot twist, you need to turn the page and figure out what comes next. And it really resonated with me. So I wrote it down and I kept it in my office drawer. And then my plot twist was I was successful in my corporate career. I'd had a great day. I was mentoring small businesses in a corporate role. And I had visions at the end of my workday, getting back to a hotel. I was on the road for business, imagining emails, a glass of wine, and a piano bar, which was how I had thought the evening would unfold, until I walked into the hotel lobby and HR and my boss were in it. And you know that that's not a good sign for any good fortune. And I thought, wow, my life is going to change in a heartbeat. And it did. 20 minutes after we'd had a conversation, I was released from employment. They got on the plane and flew home. I didn't. I actually had to spend the next 17 hours in that hotel overnight before I could return home. And it set in motion a lot of inner reflection, a lot about, well, what just happened? Because I did not see it coming. And what do I do next? And the plot twist analogy is something that I see all the time. I always think there are a million reasons to start a business. The question is, what is yours? For many, they have had a plot twist. Something in their journey becomes no longer viable, or they simply say, I can't do that anymore. And some main catalyst or disruption happens, and they find themselves forever changed on the other side of that plot twist. When that happens, I said, okay, you have the opportunity to reflect backwards, but never lose sight. The rearview mirror is 1/10 of the size of the windshield. You've got to figure out what comes next, and you don't have to do it on your own. But staying in the middle is really, really uncomfortable. And eventually you go, I can't stay here anymore. I need to start picking myself up and recreating myself. And you can recreate yourself many, many, many times. And many, many, many plot twists are very likely part of your human journey.
Ooh, then that sparks a whole nother thing. But I want to ask you a different question now. One is, when people have these plot twists, especially ones as unexpected as yours, you know, employment changes, company goes bankrupt, a huge relationship change, something totally unexpected, often people go into a massive funk and they stay there for a long time. They doubt themselves. They think they caused it, or, you know, that it portends some infinite string of future failures. And I know you see that. So what do you do with that? When someone says, I know I need help, but I suck and I'm sure I can't do this.
This certainly I could relate because I felt all those things. And I had to both physically pick myself up off the floor where I spent it crying overnight, having to call my then fiance at the time to say, by the way, I've just been fired. When that happens, there has to be a moment of reflection. There's a lot of tools you can use to do it, but it is just a place in time. What's really important is, what do you want? And that seems a very simple question and a very complex answer. And I have 10 questions that I went through. I recognized I was not my job title. I recognized I was not my salary. At the same time, I probably at least 100 times a day had to remind myself I was a good person. And that this one moment where someone didn't see my value didn't mean I didn't have value. And I needed to create a new story. And it is about recognizing one key thing in this middle messy piece. You must give yourself permission to change your definition of success. Because when I was Mach 10 hair on fire in my corporate career, or I'm Mach 10 hair on fire in my current job and my current business, those are when everything's firing and I feel good and I've got the tools to keep that momentum in play. But when you go through a major change in direction, like a plot twist, sometimes the real measure of success was, I got out of bed today. I actually, left the house today. And starting to build different reflections of what that journey looked like, and deciding, I can't let them define who I am. I get to define who I am.
So this makes me think of two different things, and maybe they're the same answer and maybe they're different answers. Those kinds of plot twists, sometimes you plan for one, like you talked about building a side hustle while you were going to do something else. And I call that a ramp. And then sometimes they're sudden when you're not expecting them. When someone, what I want to do with this is I want to not just talk about it, but I want you to teach us what you teach. So when someone comes to you and they've had an unexpected plot twist and they find themselves suddenly confronted with something serious, maybe it's out of work or whatever, what are the first steps?
Yeah, the first step is to feel everything you're feeling. The truth is, you're going to ride a really big emotional roller coaster, and I know you probably want to get off it. And you can. However, you have to go through all the emotions. And so the first thing I tell people when, in my own experience and when I'm mentoring, is you need to feel it. No feelings should be off the table. And you can journal about it, you can talk about it, but recognize that there's a processing, there's a grieving. Because no matter whether you saw it coming, or you made the choice, or it came out of the blue, it is just an impact. And you are going to very likely mourn the loss of what came before, simply because it's no longer there. It may not be utopia, but it's a comfort zone. So the first thing I tell people is feel the feelings. The second thing is recognize your value is not tied to the labels you give yourself or other people give you. You are a multifaceted human being, and what do you want to do? And it goes back to that third question, what do you want to do? But I said, instead of coming at it really directly, which can feel really hard, it's like, I don't know what I want to do. It's actually saying, what kinds of things do you enjoy? In your previous role, you might and start to really articulate what was happening in that moment. As you start to emerge from the emotions, the lower emotions, the anger, frustration, disappointment, you start to go, okay, well, how do I re-tap into the higher emotions of desire, joy, love? I said, what do you really want? People are kind, generally, I believe this, and they will help you. They will help you and you can articulate, I'm looking for something that feels like this. I'm looking for something where I can apply my skills to do this. And this is the thing where I know I can connect the dots. when you lean in with that kind of engaging conversation to your support network, to, in the case of mine, you know, a career place, people will start to say, I know somebody you should connect to. And connect. Because I said, once you've felt all the emotions, it's very easy to isolate. I'm going to invite you to remember, we are not meant to take the journey alone. Connect to other people. Connect to things that bring you joy, things that bring you hope, and things that remind you, you have value.
So I know there's more to it, but I want to just repeat some of those because I think they're really good. Feeling all the feelings is, my own experience is so important, because if you don't, you stuff them down and they show up later and they turn into judgments and festering stuff. So feel them and recognize they have a shelf life. And I love that. And then, you are not your job title. You are not your salary. You are not the previous thing. It may have provided you with money, prestige, a company car. I don't know. But it provided you with whatever it is. But that is not you. You are something else entirely. Mm-hmm. And connecting with that truth, I just love that that's next. And then choosing what you want to do, your description of it, by identifying those pieces of your previous activities and roles that really provided excitement and joy, and sort of listing that instead of trying to write a job description of what you might want to go get. I really like those. And so I just wanted to say them again.
Yeah, what's important with this is, because often, you can get pigeonholed and you do it to yourself because it's easy and it's known, and that's that comfort zone, which isn't awesome. It's just comfortable. And you can start to say, well, I know I could do this. And I talk about this a lot with my business owners and my clients, because they're like, well, I've created a business around something that I was good at. I said, well, but do you love it? Because you're creating this. If you don't love it, you don't have to do it. I mean, that's one of the awesomest bits of creating your own business. You get to choose what you do. And, you know, as you start to lean into the choices, feel it out. And it's like, I tell my business owners all the time, I want you to retain a piece of the puzzle that you love, not because it's logical, not because it makes the most money, not because everyone else says you should do it because you're awesome at it, but because it's fun for you. Otherwise, you start to wonder, why am I doing this? And I think we all get to that place. We do have places in our times, the crossroads, as you will, where we go, how did I get here? Do I want to stay on this path? Or do I want to maybe take a bit of course correction? And I think I'm around some amazing people who remind me, you're creating your future with your actions. So if you're not loving the direction, simply acknowledge something is off and be prepared to stretch to try something different, because it will be potentially an unknown thing.
So I love that. Identify what you want and then be prepared to stretch. So now where you've got me is, I felt everything, I have, excuse me, and I'm all the way to, I've identified things that I love, and then what? How do I get back, put all those pieces together into either starting my own business or finding another opportunity that really has all or most of the pieces that I really enjoyed? What do you help people do there?
I think there's two things. First off, you need to master a bit of your inner game, those 6 inches between your ears, and remind yourself that your past successes can be repeated. Your past failures do not have to be repeated. And there is some inner work in terms of, I said it 100 times a day in that first year, I'm a good person. I have things I can contribute, and my job is to figure out how I can contribute to a new opportunity. The second thing, which is an external piece, is you must articulate what it is you want. You know, this is one of the hardest things, but it's really simple. Ask for help. Articulate what you want, and don't get tied up into it coming in this beautiful package that you've picked the color and the ribbon and the size, and you know all the details, because the universe actually usually brings you beautiful gifts you never expect in the packaging, never in the timeline you plan. But if you also take the leap of faith, you trust that, you say, if I can articulate what I want and it's true and I own that truth, you need to have some patience to keep showing up, expecting to see movement. And when it happens, just recognize it might not be exactly as you thought. Like, I knew I wanted to create something in my business. My first business, I never would have imagined. And it wasn't like I got out of bed on Wednesday to start a business. I got out of bed on Wednesday and someone in my network said, I have something I want to have a conversation about. I was like, well, I'm fascinated. 10 years, this was somebody I had worked with 10 years previously, that they remembered my name because we weren't friendly. Like, she was just a colleague. But she's the one who reached out to me on LinkedIn and said, I want to talk to you about something. Like, I didn't get out of bed on Wednesday to start a business. And Friday morning, I had. So when you do that, I said, master the inner work and then ask for what it is you're seeking, not by label, but by the descriptions of it feels and looks like this, and here's how I can contribute. If you engage with other human beings about, I'd like to contribute in this way, here's where I have skills, how could that be valuable for you? It's amazing how many doors will open.
So you've said a few things that I want to emphasize, agree with, and have you elaborate on all at the same time. You talked about universe, you talked about trusting that things will come, and that indicates, presupposes that there is force, there are forces that are beyond us, there is a universe to trust into, there is such a thing as intuition, and all of that sort of thing. And you talked a lot about inner work, which also is, you know, the inner work, right? And so I want to call that out specifically in a positive way, because I'm seeing, and I'm sure you are too, this change where some years ago it was work and there was personal and things were separate. And the fact that we're an integrated whole, we all know that we have intuition. Learning to cultivate and trust it is maybe the best skill you can possibly develop. Forget, and the other stuff is all decoration, you know, at least I think it is. But anyway, so I want you to talk about this inner work, the 6 inches. Tell me about that. What is that? What is the baggage you see, maybe your own? What is the stuff, this inner work, besides, I know you said 100 times a day, I'm valuable, I'm worth something, which would be the chorus after someone just kicks you to the curb, crunch.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what it was. A chorus line in multiple voices, all different pitches and variations. You know, when you talk about the inner work, it is recognizing your innate value. And this took a lot of time, but one of the things I really recognized in the journey of, you know, moving was that instead of this happening to me, what if it was needed for me to be of service to something else? And I always say to people, you know, I've worked in the world of corporate. I have not come through it without scars. I've not come through it without some knives in my back. And I think that experience is what my clients seek out. They're not looking for perfection. And for me, when I look at the inner work, it's also saying to myself, this is about evolving. What can I learn from this moment? What do I recognize that there was a missed expectation on? Because they said there was something in this storyline that I said I didn't see, but there was obviously a missed expectation. How can I learn from this? And then when I've digested that, and it usually happens through multiple reflections, I start to go, what can I do with it? What can I use this knowledge to do next? Or to apply, or to, again, to grow into? And when I take that approach, I feel this one thing. I feel a little bit more in control. Like, this isn't happening to me. I'm now the driver of it. I'm learning, I'm applying, I'm moving. And I recognize that I'm a work in progress. This is strengthening me for something that will come next.
The phrase that people toss around glibly is, life doesn't happen to us, it happens for us. And what you're saying, I think, and I agree with it 100%, is, gee, maybe our life experience isn't just to go do cool stuff and have fun. Maybe the playbook is to help us become more substantive, better people, to grow, to develop these skills and talents, not just in the way that garners the sort of recognition in cash, but that makes a real difference, that is in service to the world or to however many people you can touch. And that's what I'm hearing you say, that this thing happened and you said, I'm determined to extract value from this unexpected occurrence.
Yes, it was a commitment I made to myself to find value in it. And I said, I'm also human enough to say I'm not writing thank you cards yet. Don't feel the need to do that, even though I love a handwritten card. It's definitely something I do all the time. But it was working with other peers, other business owners who helped me say, what if this lesson, the confidence, the awareness, the people skills that you've learned came through some of that adversity. They didn't come because it was rainbows and unicorns. And I said, when you're in the mix of trying to help somebody stretch and grow, you never seek a mentor or someone who has had a smooth ride. And if your mentors are only talking about the good, I would ask you to look a little below the surface, not to find skeletons, but to say, where's your human journey? Because no human I know had a free, easy ride. There are going to be human challenges. And it's about, what did I learn? How did I apply it? And how have I used the setback to tee up what came next? And I said, when you are in this spin cycle of a plot twist, one of the biggest, hardest realities, we feel so out of control because the things that anchored us, the Monday to Friday, the regular paycheck, the people we knew in our business communities, they're gone in a heartbeat. And so as we climb ourselves out and we do the inner work and we start to articulate, I am inherently valuable, I am looking to contribute in the following ways, what happens is we start to go, okay, how do I show up? I get to choose that. I'm more in control than I imagined. I lost sight of that. Maybe for months, maybe a year. Depends on your journey. But when the moment that happens, I think many times is, what are we looking for? We're looking for certainty. And I've had to remind myself, the certainty you're seeking is actually the person looking back at you in the mirror, because you've survived everything so far. You're inherently wired for survival, and this didn't break you. There's a learning. Now, what do you do with it?
So I have to laugh. I love the spin cycle of a plot twist. I love the language. Christine, that's funny. All right. So I'm seeing, somebody spinning around in the spin cycle. Sometimes people, we're in the territory of, do what you love and the money will follow. We're in the territory of, follow your intuition and all those sort of glib things that people say. And mostly they don't say or talk about the scratches and the bruises and the infections and the blood on the floor and the determination and all the rest that comes with it. But one thing I heard that somebody was talking about, how to find your gifts, and this was how to find your divine gifts, but the same thing, how to find your gift. One of the things they said is look to your adversity. Because those hard things that have happened to you, whether they were a corporate thing, or I had an acquaintance that had had a child with, diagnosed with cancer, and this whole process, those things are what refine us, mm-hmm. and make us either connect with or sharpen the gifts that we really have, and we may find them in unexpected areas.
I would agree with that. And, when I look at the goal, I said, I never set out to be in the path of mentoring and to guiding, and you call it the people encouragement business. This wasn't something I saw as an innate gift, interestingly enough. I mean, I've led teams. I've successfully helped a lot of businesses create revenue, jobs, all kinds of stuff that made the world go round. It wasn't until someone said, could you distill it for me? Because what you see is really obvious. I don't understand. And I said, that was the dawning. Because I said, lots of people come into the world of business. I call them accidental entrepreneurs. I grew up in the world of business. I was educated in the world of business. I watched my dad in business all of his career. So for me, this was just like wallpaper. It was so part of the furniture. And someone else said, this is actually a gift. Your ability to distill it makes sense. Logically, I get it. Even uneducated, I understand you, Christine, that makes sense. I can see it. I can observe it. I can touch it. How do I apply it? And I said, oh, well, that's easy. And it was easy for me because I had the language. I had the experience. I had the knives in my back. And you're right. The divine what adversity helped polish and refine you is sometimes hard to see because we just take it as part of the furniture. One of the things I did recommend when I went through my own plot twist, I recommend it to clients if they're going through that kind of journey in their own business, is ask people what you were great at. Chances are they're not things you think of. If you brainstorm, your list and their list are often different.
That's absolutely true. And that's, I have four steps that I give people to find their gifts. But anyway, I love what you're saying. And I guess now that you have, are you doing the same business now? Is this the business you built after your plot twist? Or is the business you have now different than the one that you did first after your
gut? Yeah, I still have my first business. It still creates revenue, but the coaching came later. The coaching, I said, came a couple years into my first business. And it was because peers, other business owners kept saying, I see your business consistently moving and I don't see you working 24/7. What's the deal? And I was like, there's no deal. I know what to focus on to move a business, any business. I like creatives and service-based businesses, but this is true regardless of the business type. And I said, the thing that the marketplace tells you, it has its own voice that is about complications and creating and dividing us versus them, and only one way to do this. I said, the world is very creative. The universe is very creative. There's a million ways to get there. There's a million reasons to start a business. But without foundations, the wheels go off the bus. And I said, I know what the foundations are, and getting them in place allows you to create the life and business you want.
So your first business, I'm sorry, finish.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So your first business that was keeping going, that you still have right now, the principles that you were applying, and you said to people, how do you do that? And you said, well, I know what to focus on. Mm-hmm. I know there are many things, but if you listed like three important things that people need to focus on that you intrinsically knew because of your experience that others have to learn the hard way or don't know at all, what are some of those things that allowed you to do that?
The first one is, I think, you know, is really understanding that you need to create the demand for your services. And business 101 would say, go to the marketplace where there's money already moving hands. There's already a need and you can recognize it. And the goal is to shift that audience who's already in play towards you. And a lot of people talk about demand generation. I said, that's not the same thing. I want you to build an audience. And why people struggle in business is because I jokingly call it, they subscribe to the Kevin Costner Field of Dreams business strategy. I'll build it, they will come, but they don't. And you have fields of crickets. I said, we must build an audience. And that doesn't mean you have to do it in every social media platform. It doesn't mean you need to have big expensive ad budgets. It doesn't mean you have complicated tech. You've got to master the fundamentals, which is like being the basics, ABCs. Audience building is number one. Number two is you've got to get the language right. And this is easier said than done, and easier said than done on your own. Often businesses speak in the place of enlightenment. I can describe your problem. I can paint a picture, but I disconnect from the client or the prospect who is in the dark and they walk right by you. And that's why you're not seeing success. So I know that Google, Pinterest, and YouTube are the most trafficked engines on the planet. That means people are seeking. They're seeking for solutions to specialized problems, to specialist knowledge. What are you a specialist in? Or do you sound like everybody else that they're not searching for what you are providing? And if we can bridge that gap, that's really where you can start to create impact. And if you can't bridge it, you are lost in the sea of sameness and your business will struggle financially. The third one, which is important, is recognizing value. Value and the exchange of value is what is necessary in order to see an offer convert. And business owners make the mistake of thinking, I should justify my value. No, not interested. What's really important is, what does your client seek? What's the value they put on it? And if you can connect to that, you will see movement. And those three foundations are what every business needs, regardless of industry, regardless of the size of the company. You must build an audience. You must be able to speak in a language that connects people to people. And you've got to know what the value is, that when you make that invitation, there is agreement to move forward.
So that's fabulous. And I hope everybody's writing that down if they're interested in growing business. It's fun to hear you describe it that way because it resonates with some other descriptions about fundamental principles that I've heard. So really exciting. So now, what made you decide? So you got requests. Gee, your business is still moving. You're still, can you help me do that? And you helped them by seeing these three fundamental principles or which one that they were missing. Mm-hmm. And as you reach out now to create larger, like you mentioned at the beginning, you have clients around the world or multiple countries. What do you use to do those three things, to do B, which is connecting the language, you know, using the right language and addressing the value that they seek so that you're able to, I mean, I live in Edmonton, you live in Calgary, so I know where we are. And if you have clients all over the place, you have to reach them and you're not buying, you know, bus ads in Los Angeles. So what do you do to explain or to let someone in some other city, hear the language they need to hear and see the value that you might provide for their business?
Well, as I started to say in the very beginning, you know, I believe business is elegantly simple. So the strategies are that. They're elegantly simple. I love three things. They're low tech, they're not expensive, and they're fun. And that is speaking, networking, and events. And the reason I love these three, and that's what I use to grow my business, it's often what I'm guiding my clients around, is because they are experiential in nature. I work with service-based businesses. People do business with people. And I think we've somehow really lost sight of that. And through all of the automations that are in our world, we've stopped having conversations. But the thing we crave, the thing we seek is conversation. So I love experiences because they help people observe at the pace at which they want to travel. So they're looking, are you credible? Are you capable? Do I like their sense of humor? Do I want to spend some time with them? And all through that, you're building the know, like, and trust factor. And when you're working, in my case, it's also showcasing who's in my network. What kind of doors might I be able to open that you can't get into on your own? And as I'm playing with people all around the world, I'm asking the question, who do you know who's doing something great? Because I want to amplify great people walking their walk, because we need to see more truth tellers, in my opinion, so that we can help be the amplifier and the guides. So we're not the solution. We're the guide on the path. But there's so much bad advice. There's so much noise. And I say, if you spend time more than a nanosecond with someone, you said it earlier, trust your intuition. What is it telling you? You've got to walk your walk.
So that there's two parts to this. One, I want to ask you about intuition. Mm-hmm. What do you do to help people cultivate the ability to hear their intuitive sense and then to trust it? Because I'm sure that especially when people have struggled with too many hats and this and that and the other and too many bright, shiny objects and all the rest that we all hear, they don't trust their own intuition, or they don't know, it's unpredictable, and they don't know how to cultivate that. How do you help people cultivate it and learn to trust their inner voice?
Well, the first thing I always have when I'm bringing clients to work with me is I do the exercise, actually the same exercise I did when I went through my plot twist in my own life, in my own journey. And that's, it's about visualizing your future. You've got to see what it is that you are seeking. And you can't, you know, I said, do this unedited, you know, put a crayon in your hand and just write, tell me what it feels like. And I got a number of questions. There's 10 of them that I ask people to go through. And interestingly enough, often the answer comes back and they're talking about the present. And I said, that's not the exercise. Go back and do it again. I want you to cast, if you were not hindered by whatever came behind you and we didn't have limits because there's abundance, truly there is, where do you see possibility? That's the first piece, because I said, if you can imagine it, you can achieve it. You have to work on the becoming to get there, but that's a journey and we can take it together. But I want you to have a clarity piece on what does that look like? There's a lot of different questions you can ask. You know, at the end of your days, when you look back, what do you wish you don't regret? What would be the non-regrets? why are we waiting? We have this illusion that we have all this time. What happens if we did this now? What would it feel like? And then when we have that clarity, a large part of why we work with people, you know, over a period of time is reminding us, this is what you wanted. Is it true? And if it's true, what feels like the next step? And sometimes the reason we don't trust our intuition is because we're overwhelmed with how many choices. My general advice is the advice I was given: slow down. Stop rushing. If you could listen to the stillness, you know. And so when companies or businesses are in this middle piece that I play with, I often say to them, and they start to spin, is the fire still on? Do you want this? Why? Why is it non-negotiable for you? And reconnecting to that, because that is usually the spur to movement, and said, I'm here to hold the space, but you create the movement. Is it non-negotiable? And then as you go through it and you experience things, you say, well, what did we learn? Do we want more of this? Or have we learned that it is not the path? And there's always an immediate answer. I said, stop trying to edit yourself. Trust.
I love that, not editing, because that learning to trust the intuition and not editing. I love that you said about this. So when you work with someone like in that middle part where they've started something and they're struggling perhaps, and they're, you know, have those twists, is that a month? Is that 6 months? Is that a year? What does that process look like that you have? And I realize people are going to be different, so there's not an answer. But what does it kind of look like? So someone that hears you and says, ooh, that sounds interesting, they have a sense of what that feels like.
Sure. The first thing I always tell people is, I will be completely candid. The journey doesn't happen in a nanosecond. Okay. And I know lots of coaches out there are like, hey, let's fill this in a nanosecond. And I want you to have the ability to think on your own independently for a long period of time. That's what I'm teaching. That's what I'm mentoring, is the thinking component of it. Typical journey is clients retain me typically for a year, sometimes 6 months. The conversation we're often having is, where do you perceive your gaps today on the foundational pieces? If there is one gap, yes, and there's the three that we talked about: audience building, messaging, and the offer that is converting, which is you are creating clients and you are making impact. And I always say, where do you feel your gap is today? Awareness is the first piece of the puzzle. You wouldn't often be talking to me in a consultation if you didn't feel there was a gap and you didn't already probably have experienced me to realize I am in the consideration as the must hire. So I said, what's the gap? And what do we want to achieve? And what speed do you want to travel? And then based on those results, I'm saying, you know, realistically, this gap is going to be a year to 18 months. Let's look at that option. If clients say, you know, I just want to get the first piece built, I said, we're going to be talking at least 6 months. And at that point, likely continuing on. But if that's the framework that feels like the right next step for you, let's make the step and get moving. I am very cognizant to people. I said, this is all about learn, do, and apply. That's why I often look at a long-term horizon, because I said, we're human beings. If left to our own devices, I get in my own way. How about you?
I don't know anybody that read the calculus book and took the test. I've heard of such people, but I had a math scholarship and I didn't do that. You had to go to class. You had to do the homework. Maybe you needed to go see the professor in office hours, you know? And so, yeah, no, we don't tend to do that on our own.
No. And so we build the building blocks. I said, my goal is to help you have repeatable success. And I said, you know, some clients will come to me and we'll work on a shorter horizon. And I said, you've learned to think, and I've watched them after our time is up. I'm still cheering for them in a big way. And I've watched them continue to iterate their language, who they're building their audience, where they go play. And I love to see that, because I know they've got the foundations. They've learned how to think. And as the business cycles around, sometimes they come back into my ecosystem and say, okay, I'm ready to go to the next level. I've identified I've got some other gaps, or I'm not genuinely living up to the potential that I see. What am I missing? And we just sit and have a conversation. I said, well, you know the answer more than I do. You're the one walking your walk. Let's talk about that. I'll ask the questions.
Where do you see yourself? I'm going to switch gears here. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Very similar to where I am now. You know, I would say, first off, I want to be loving the life intentionally I choose. I do see myself likely not living in a snowy climate. So that is something I see on the horizon. And in my place and where I am with my life, the next 5 years is really going to be about making memories with my parents while we can. And so the business to me is the play to fuel the fact I want to play with the people I'm around. I can see, you know, this business continuing to evolve. I'm excited by the path I'm on. I don't see it dramatically different in 5 years, just a whole bunch more exciting. Doors I can't see yet.
No, that's fabulous. And it's interesting because so often people think of those kinds of questions in terms of either revenue or number of clients or those kinds of things. And you said the thing that's truly most important, because the name of our show here is to build the ultimate life. And you said this business and your ability to help people with their dreams is the engine that allows you to make memories with those that you care about the most. And so that is a clear statement from Christine about what she really values. She values those memories and also values creating the help and growth that she can for those that she's working with. So that's fabulous.
Yeah, money is not the driver. It is a thing, but I am so aware that, you know, every day is precious. And I have a reminder to myself, you know, life begins outside your comfort zone. We've talked a little bit about them today. And I challenge myself, what action can I take that stretches? And I said, my business feels like oxygen. I love it. I love the people I get to play with. And if I don't have that connection where I feel I can serve, I don't engage in a conversation that just doesn't feel like a good fit. I want to be creating good ripples, and I'm going to do it intentionally.
I love it. Good ripples. So if people want to find out about Clear Acceleration. So there's something partly at the bottom of the screen. It's too long. So tell us where to find, what is the name of your program? What are the kinds of things that you, where do we find you?
Awesome. Thank you, Callan. So you can find me under my name, which is the easiest bit of what you can see below. It's ChristineCampbellRappin.com. That's the home where I would invite you to come explore the mentoring that I do. It comes under a program called like the Business Skill Accelerator. And that's something where I said, our goal is to get clear, to gain the confidence so that you can see the results. And I work with clients through the model. We've talked a little bit about it. Those three foundations, then we've got to get clear on our communication. We've got to accelerate. It's moving to the speed of creating momentum. Stop what's not working and amplify what is. And that's the business model I take my clients through. It's a lot of fun, but I invite you to come visit ChristineCampbellRappin.com to learn more about what I do, how I might build help.
So I want you to think about, we live in a world right now, and this is kind of wrapping up, but we live in a world right now where the inflation's high. I was just talking to someone on Lunch Club this morning who was in Israel. And it's funny because he told me he thought that within a couple of years there's going to be a huge recession and, you know, a big crash like 2008. He said we're living in 2006. And it was funny. Tonight on the news, I heard exactly the same thing. I thought, holy cow. Okay. So that's on the horizon. We've got war in Europe. We've got all these things, uncertainties, and the economy looks like it's struggling, and et cetera, et cetera. And yet we have people that are trying to start businesses and trying to add good to the world. So if you had to combine the intuition, the spiritual nature of our gifts, and the drive to make a difference, and at the same time make money, and you left us with something that we remember you by, long enough to get to the web and go to ChristineCampbellRappin.com, what would that be?
I think the most important thing is to remember whose storyline you're buying into. One that is written for you or the one you are writing. And when you choose to take the pen in your life, I hope you choose hope. I hope you choose possibility. And I hope you remember that regardless of any kind of apocalyptic news story that's running, I have so much faith in our human ability to create, to innovate, and trust that you can choose to be part of that by leading first yourself and then others. And you can dampen the fear-mongering that's all around us.
Hope, possibility, innovation, creativity. Christine, I want to thank you for being part of our show tonight.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be spending time with you.
I know. I love seeing your face. All right, I want you to go back and listen to this again. And remember, hope, possibility, innovation. Because I agree with what Christine said. I don't care how dark it is around you. You are infinitely capable. You are infinitely valuable. You have things to add to the world, and they come in the form of your gifts and talents. Cultivate your intuition. Listen, follow, and above all, never give up and add good to the world as you create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.